What's the idea of the bracha of Shosani Isha? Right? Yeah, so I'm not sure that the Gemara of Shosani, the bracha of Shosani Ketzono is in the Gemara. I think it's like a later edition, but I don't really know when it came about. But Shosani Ketzono, no. Shosani, the Gemara has Shosani Gai, Shosani Yav, Shosani Isha. Okay? So what's the idea of those brachos? And then I guess the question is what's the sense of the backup of Shosani Ketzono? You know, is that where does that come from, or what is that idea? So what is the idea altogether? Give me a second. So I think there's an idea. It reminds me of something I once heard. This is halacha. What do you do if you have a drowning boat, you know, and you have to save certain people, you know, like let's say the Titanic's going down, something like that, right? So the American idea is women and children go first, save them and let the men die. Right? That's the American whatever. That's a standard moral ethical thing. Okay, but what's halacha say? So it's actually a Mishnah. Kohanim are first. You did the Mishnah, you're doing it? You just know. Remember, right? Yeah, Kohanim, Levim, Israelim, I think. And then I think men. When is it? I think it's in Horius, maybe. Let me see. Adius and Horius, some funny place. Let me see if I can find.
Do we do it on a Friday with Pesach last year?
So, and then I think it's men before women. But what's the idea? Then I think there's another thing. It says Mamzer Talmachachon Kodem Kohen Haaretz or something like that. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe it's an Adios. So I think the idea is that it doesn't mean, see, we hold, this is what I heard explained, do we hold, like, the life of a Kohen is more important? Oh, yeah, Kohen, Kodim, Levi, Levi, Israel, Israel, Mamzer, Mamzer, Sin, and then, it says a man is before a woman to save, and for saving their life, and so is the Veda. A woman is before a man for clothing. If you have like an ani, two people don't have clothing, so you give a woman before you give a man, and to take out of captivity. Okay, fine. Then it says, Kohen Gadol is before Levi, Levi is before Yisrael, And it says, when is this? When they're all equal. But if there's a mamzer, it's Talmud Chacham. A mamzer is like a, versus a Kohen Gadol, Am Haaretz, the mamzer, Talmud Chacham comes first. So Talmud Chacham definitely comes before, even if you have a Kohen Gadol. He's Am Haaretz, and the Talmud Chacham comes first. So, but in general, assuming they're all equal though, all equal levels, so then you go by, so you go Kohen, Levi, Israel, man, women. Alright, so what's that idea? If I understand the Talmud Chacham, fine. So now you're saying, yeah, the Talmud Chacham's a higher level. He's, so to speak, part more like the model of what the Torah stands for, something like that, you could say. But we hold a particular Kohen is higher than a particular Levi, higher than a particular Israel, a man, higher than a particular woman. What does this decide? Are we judging human life? So I heard a pshat, I don't know from who, maybe from Rabbi. It's not sure we're judging human life. Maybe it's from Rechayim Shade, I don't know. But it's not that we're judging life. What we're saying is that we have a decision, and how could you judge between life? How could you start doing things like that? So you can't really. So rather what you do is that your decision reflects the concept. Concept is that we value Torah, we value mitzvahs. And so far as the system of mitzvahs, like you see a Kohen partakes of more mitzvahs than a Levi, than Yisrael. Certain mitzvahs applies only to Kohanim. So he's like, that's why you say it's a higher Kedusha, because he's involved in a greater, more of Tariq mitzvahs, and there's a greater role in the system. and the man has more mitzvahs than a woman, insofar as many mitzvahs than a woman is patura from. So it doesn't mean that a kohen, a particular kohen, is more important or more special, or their neshama is whatever, than a particular Levi Yisrael, but in our decision, we say we can't really decide. So the way we decide is we make a decision which points to an idea that we hold the essence of life is a commandment of Torah mitzvos, and a person who has a higher, who is more involved in the system of mitzvos, has priority. So therefore, we say that that's the sense that a man goes before a woman, but not because we say men are better or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that they have a role in the system, and a different, in a certain sense, a more extensive role in the system. Okay, so I think maybe that's shot in these things also, is that the Shalos HaNigoa, you know, insofar as the system of Torah mitzvahs are concerned, so Goy only has 7 mitzvahs, an Eved has less. An Eved is like an Isha in terms of mitzvahs, but they all have less mitzvahs than men. So we are happy, there's a shavach, that you're involved in a certain part of the system, that you're a man, and that God gave you this many mitzvahs. He put you in the, so to speak, the maximal role in the system. It's interesting, there is none for a Kohen or Levi. But a woman isn't in that stage. So she's not, it's not shot that, like, we're saying, you have to, like, count your blessings and be happy with what you have, and that's something which is shayach to give shavach for. So a woman isn't going to say, I mean, that's the question, because the concept is that it's not shot that you, like, complain or whatever, just there is a benefit, but a woman's not, is happy with her role in life. You know, just like in general in life, a person has to, I mean, Yisrael has to be happy as Yisrael, and according to God, set up a system, and there have to be different roles in the system, and different people are going to occupy different roles, which theoretically are more advantageous to a person, but a person should be happy in their role, and any role that a person has, they could excel in their avodas Hashem, and is appropriate, you know. So there could be, that's a concept behind that bracha. But I don't know if it's in the Gemara.
Like,
what?
It's like a funny
shavach. It's a funny shavach, I know. It's like a nice idea to think that a woman should think that, but it's a funny shavach. To say, you praise that, he made me like he wants. It's like a, so I don't know. I haven't really traced the origins of it. But it is a funny shavach. I don't know if it's in the Gemara where it's from, but
even still, why would you say, like, shalo asani isha? Why don't you say, like, that you gave me the ability to do the mitzvot?
Shasani yesh, you mean?
You didn't make me with the inability to.
So you're going to say shasani yesh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess like this, is that there's then you'd say I only have one racha. Like, in theory, there's, you mean shasani Yisrael, shasani ben chorin, shasani yesh? You mean something like that? I mean, why say in the negative? Why say in the positive and not in the negative?
Right. I mean, at least in terms of like Eved, I kind of see that.
Why say shasani ben chorin?
It's a natural state. A person's always just born
free.
Free.
You didn't make me. I understand. You're saying didn't make me an Eved. And a guy. What about that? Shasani Yisrael. You could say shasani Yisrael.
I don't see that as being as offensive. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know, I have another question, and I just brought it up, but why are we so worried about offending people in terms of halacha?
Not so much halacha, just like being like decent. If I start like calling you as being the dumb person, even though you're really the dumb person, I'm like, that's just not nice.
Well, that's kind
it's
of
just,
just
stating the truth doesn't mean
let's
like
say, let's say okay. I'm a shota.
So it's just saying your shota is, like, it's not nice.
Well, let's, if this is the right shava.
It's not nice. Like, pointing out your
right. Well, that's the question is, why is it the way to say it? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just the way, it depends. If you have a complex about it, then it's going to be offensive. If you just could just be really said objectively. We have to figure out why it's written that way. But assuming there's a sense to writing it that way, I don't think we're worried about a person who can't appreciate the idea of Shasana Gertzono, and they're going to take it wrong and whatever. It's not an idea that we're saying they're better. It's just there is a benefit to being in that role in the system, and we're happy about it. In theory, a Kohen should be happy about being a Kohen. And there's nothing.
When I hear that, but like when you say it in negative terms, it's like, why say it in the negative? You could say it.
Okay, that's a good question. Good question. I like the question so not so much because it offends people, it just says, what's the point? Say what you're trying to say, don't say
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was that Mishnah from?
Mishnah is in Hor Yosef. It's in the last parak, third parak, yeah. The last Mishnah, or something. Another second, yeah, last Mishnah. It's interesting to go through there. Different interesting cases. So why would it be Shalasani? You want to hurry us? Shulchan Aruch you want. What kind of Shulchan Aruch? Mishabra?
Yeah. No, but not the
Mishabra,
like
with the stuff. Now, what's in it, do you know?
First one?
Yeah. That's it? Yeah. It's a good question. Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, what do you guys think? Okay, I don't know. Good question.
I mean, one thing I was thinking about is like maybe.
Okay, so we're gonna think about it. Yeah, yeah.
Is there only black and white, right?
Right.
Is there like an issue with that? Like, what exactly is the issue?
You know what I mean? An issue for them or for us?
For them. Like,
what do you mean? Why do they do it?
Like, is it wrong or is it just like silly or like what?
Only wearing black and white.
Something like that. Or there's other things. Like things people.
I understand. Things people do.
Makeup, arguably, is like a.
Right. Calling them and hugging them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Become like a pseudo.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's. I don't think it's good. I think it might be bad. Because the idea is that the Torah, it depends how it's done. It depends on what exactly is the thing. But, I mean, the Torah set up for us how we... Like, it's interesting. I saw it in Rav Moshe, he tells us. He's talking about the thing of not having non-Jewish names. You know, is it okay to have... Should you have a Jewish name, or should you allow to have an American name? Or is it important to change your name to a Jewish name, or something like that? So he cites... Some people want to say there's a chazal that says in the Jews in Mitzrayim, they didn't change. There are three things which they kept. They wore their clothing and their names and their language.
In my black and white discussion, the other party put it there.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rav Moshe, this is a good one to know. So Rav Moshe said, he says that was called the Matan Torah. He says that was before the Torah. So there, our identity was. It was our manifest identity. I mean, of course, we always had our ideology, but our manifest identity was through these things. We didn't have mitzvahs to differentiate us. But once we were given the Torah, the Jew is distinguished through his whole Derech Chaim, his whole life, 613 mitzvahs. He's only eating kosher, he's keeping Shabbos, he's wearing tzitzis, he's wearing tefillin, the whole system of mitzvahs that set a Jew apart. And Baal Tosef, the Torah Hashem said, these are the mitzvahs which I commanded you. Don't add to them and don't subtract from them. So before Matan Torah, we were distinct. We remain distinct because of superficial things like that, you know. But once we have Torah, you're not going to think a guy's a guy because he's wearing a polo shirt and pants. They'll say, "Well, are you a guy?" No, I'm not a guy. I do mitzvahs. Do you do mitzvahs? Isn't that what? That's not enough to distinguish us. We have many mitzvahs. My whole day is filled with mitzvahs. Why do I need to also put on a uniform which is not in the Torah in order to make me a Jew? Kodesh Matan Torah, that might have been the case. What exactly did differentiate a Jew? So that's, even though their ideology slipped, they still maintained an identity as a Jew, as Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. That's fine. But Sinai, God penned the method by which we do it, and he says, don't add on and don't subtract. This is the way. This is the way our identity is a Jew. Our life is imbued with mitzvahs, and God, all the things which God did, it's not just cultural items, but they're all mitzvahs, which are chachma, which follow a halachic system, and they're built upon true philosophical ideas, and the way we do them is totally in line with thought and analysis and figuring out how the halacha works out. Our identity is defined by mitzvahs and by the halachic system, and by chachma. So now to take those and say, hey, you know what? It's not enough. I want to look like a Jew and distinguish myself from the guy I am by having a particular color item that I'm going to wear. It's something more than the Torah. Torah is not really good enough. I need a superficial surface thing that I could just see with my eyes, which isn't based upon a structural mitzvah.
Kind of.
Yeah, so you're just saying, you're pushing aside the mitzvah things which the Torah set up, which are halachic, which follow a system of chachma, and you're just saying, I want one which hits my emotions in the proper way. But that's the idea behind Bar Tosef. Don't add on your own mitzvahs. So if you're making it into like a mitzvah, that's why it depends how it's done. If a guy just wants to wear it, his own personal thing, he wants to wear black and white, it helps him feel dignified, it helps him feel whatever, it helps him, he feels it's respectable, and I don't know, whatever personal thing he wants to do, fine. But he wants to look like a man, fine. But to make it into like a uniform, where it's like, this is the way you're supposed to dress, and there's something wrong with you if you don't, and you kind of look down at the other guy as if he's violating one of Tayyar Mitzvos, so then you're making a Tayyar Mitzvos or whatever. Then you're making your extending the system. So then I think it's bad. And to a person, I don't think a person should participate in that. Because it's really, it's making the Torah something other, and it's giving a knock on Torah. So that's what Moshe says. Yes, a Goyish name wasn't good before the Torah. But once you have Torah, so a guy, you call a guy by Bob now, and all of a sudden he's a guy, what happened to all the mitzvahs that he does? Just because it's a guy's name, who really cares? It's not. We're much deeper than that. Now we have a whole system of Torah mitzvahs, so it's like, it's a knock on Torah mitzvahs by implying that if you don't make up your own thing, then you feel, then you're like a guy. You know, so again, but it doesn't mean if a guy has a personal thing that, I don't know, it helps him stay away from Avera if he's dressed in a certain way. I don't know, something like that. That's something people tie on, which I don't really know if it's true or not. You know, maybe it works for a day or two or three, but, you know, maybe it works. If a guy's saying that he has a personal thing and it helps him, then who's to say? I mean, whatever. If you can stay away from chayt and something works for you, then great. You know, just, but to make it into like a uniform. And I think another thing is, it does, there is like, I think the Torah is into a person having a certain independence. I mean, the Torah is interesting. On the one hand, the Torah holds by sort of, it's important for a person to conform to a system, to God's system, and to subordinate himself to God's system, but at the same time, there's room for individuality within the Torah. The Torah doesn't force a person. Certain things it does, but then there's a room for a person's self-expression, for a person to wear what he wants, what color shirt he wants, or whatever. The Torah doesn't mandate and you're what personality you should have. There are a lot of things which are open-ended. The Torah does have a very broad range of things it does tell you how to do, and then there are other things it just doesn't tell you how to do, and it leaves it up to you, different people. Different people have different things. Some guys like red shirts, some guys like white shirts, some guys like yellow shirts, some guys like blue pants, and some guys, whatever. Some people are this type of personality, this type of without their personality, and the Torah doesn't say we all have to be one person. There were 12 sons of Yaakov, and in the Brachos, he didn't tell them all, here's the cookie cutter model that you all should be. He talked to each one of them based upon who they were and what their personality was. So there's no idea, the Torah doesn't squelch a person's individuality. Up to a point, you have to follow halacha. And the same kind of idea, there is halacha, but beyond halacha, there's room for individuality. So setting up like a uniform where everyone wears the exact same thing, I think it does take away from a person's sense of an individual. That's kind of, I think, part of the plan, is to squelch that. But I don't think it really works, because, you know, instead of like showing them themselves with their colorful whatever, like they color the shape of the brim on their hat or their whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different things. That's you know, there's like a, you know, I don't think it really works. As a person, it's like that. I don't think it's really could take that tie out of a person. It just kind of gives it a different, more subtle outlet and subtle expression. But I just think the whole plan, it takes away from it. And I think it could be, it squelches creativity and a person's ability to, you know, to be an individual and to be able to be free. And like there is a certain freedom that it gives a person, an individual. So there's like a culture which kind of puts everyone into one box and has to be one type of person. And but they're the uniform and just like a certain type of a thing, which I think the Torah doesn't do, and it does to an extent, but that's again the same point. There's Tayyar Mitzvos, and that's our box, you know. But you may want to find that Tshuva of Moshe, because it's a pretty solid source. And I heard that, I was very happy, because I know that's the one thing which they quote.
Right.
But he said it makes sense, it makes perfect. You kind of hear it without Torah Mitzvos is exactly the point, you know.
And you're also not like, you're not making up like,
was no halacha.
Yeah, there was no halacha then, exactly. So then, you have, then it makes sense for a society to do something like that. The Torah Hashem didn't set up a system like that, so we want to stay a knit community, whatever. But now, and it's kind of like a question, what's wrong with the Torah? Torah, mitzvot, Talmud Torah, tefillah being what knits us together. Why do we have to make up something other? So isn't that great? Didn't Hashem make up a great thing? Are you claiming that it's not so good? It sounds like it. And it does. And it really is. And that's kind of the thing.
Whatever philosophical idea you think this is fulfilling.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And he said, you're worried that we're going to intermix with the Goyim? Well, there's Bishalakim and there's all kinds of halachos. There's a whole halachic system which the Rabbanon set up. Now, who exactly decided, or whatever, that we should dress like they did in Poland or whatever? Like, how did this become a thing?
I guess that's also a separate question. Maybe it's more like a sociological question. But how did that happen where all of a sudden everyone just is obsessed with what happened in Europe? Like Ashkenazi Jewry, for some reason, cannot let go of the fact that whatever happened in Europe. We have to emulate that somehow. But that could be part of why black, white.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know. There's an idealization of that world. There is an idealization of that world, but I don't know. I don't know enough about it to know why that happened.
In general, back then, people just knew more Torah. I mean, that's just been something that's always been going on. It just happened to be, like, the most recent
thing. Like, why don't we go to, like, Rishonic times?
We don't know.
Or Sinai.
Do you know what they were wearing then?
No, but that's the point. Why does it make a difference?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that that's true anyways. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know anyways. Is it true that people knew more Torah? I mean, everyone in the ghettos or whatever was, in these little shtetls, had such a great broad range of knowledge of Torah. I don't know if, maybe it's true. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, there was, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a certain type of secularization, I think, which happened in America, you know. But I don't know. Didn't they say there was a lot of assimilation in Germany also? I don't know. I have no knowledge about this field. I don't know much history or sociology or whatever, so I'd just be guessing. I don't know. It's a good question, but, yeah, out of my, You gotta go. Whenever.
After putting it like that, it kind of makes the whole thing just sound even more silly. Like, what are they...
More silly before that?
No, I'm saying... I never really thought of... I just had a problem with it. I never really saw it as, like, a halakhic issue. Or a possibly a halakhic issue or a philosophical issue. I just thought, I don't know.
Yeah, the idea of a yarmulke is an idea of like when an Amora used to do it. He says it's the din of yara yarmulke, like yara malka. It's like to always be aware, to remind yourself of like of God above. So there's certain like humility, like if your head is that which was you think. So there's like a kind of like a imitation of the self by having your head covered.
So yarmulke comes from yara yarmulke.
Yeah.
People just like got really lazy saying it.
Yeah, I think so. It's like maybe the Yiddish version of it. Yarmulke. I don't know.
But I think it's right.
Yeah. So so that's in a that's a philosophical. It's mitzvahs, and there's no way to do it. But that's an idea.
Like people, like, I used to get this all the time when I was like my uncle would fall off playing sports, and they'd be like, "Oh, you can't run 4 feet." That's just like.
Yeah, I mean, there is a chazal like that, but I don't feel it's like an issue. I mean, there is a chazal that is. I think that Samora wouldn't walk 4 hours without wearing his yarmulke. Without thinking that. So I think in its pure form, that's the idea. But, I mean, if you're, whatever, if it's saying to stay on or whatever, there's a chayiv to do it like that. But there is a high level of mitzvah chasidus where a person is always... constantly is aware of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't want to ever, like, you know. I think there is a level like that, but it's beyond that, where, you know. I know, it is a thing, though.
But I mean, how did it, why is that not felt to us, like, becoming a minute?
Well, a minhag is like this. So what's a minhag altogether? So the minhag is where you have an idea. You have an idea in Torah, which is a true idea, and you do an action. Kaisel is knowing to do an action that reminds him of that idea. I mean, what's the difference between that and a Baal Tosef?
You're not doing a mitzvah by putting on your yarmulke, you're fulfilling an ideal.
Yeah, like an
so
idea.
Being involved in ideas is not like Baal Tosef.
Right.
Ideas all the time.
Right, right. I guess that's the question. Is like, what's the substance of the idea? If black and white had some sort of a content to it. But if like the idea is that the Jew is different, then that's what kind of idea is that? That's what the mitzvahs are. You know, if the idea is like a. Like a reminder. I mean, there is an idea, like even like Atifa is like an idea. And that's like an idea of Atifa. So it's like kind of like a minimal form of Atifa, I think. I don't know if halachically is like that, but like there's a positive, like Tefillah and Ikiyatov. And Tefillah is a key of Atifa being wrapped, you know, your head. I think the idea is that your head is that with which you perceive. So you stand before God. The idea of like covering your head is like so it's humbling. It's to show there's like a mechitza between your mind and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Like God appears in an unknown, like that kind of an idea. So that's the idea, especially when you daven, you know, with Hashem. So there's the idea of like covering.
So why would you need a second?
I don't think there's a thing a second covering. And he just said, one covering is good. If you have a thousand, I don't think you need a second. I think I looked into
people like who are wearing like if you're wearing like one of my rabbis in Israel said like he didn't like he's like a Haredi kid just doesn't wear a black hat like just like he right. just doesn't because like he's already wearing out but why should he wear a hat
right yeah no but a hat there's an idea of a I think a tifa is like it's really cover your whole head or something like that
so he just doesn't accomplish that.
I don't think
here you could with he's a very large
it could be his kippah is big enough.
He's like a really big kippah.
Could be. For davening?
Are you talking about Rav Sheftel? I'm not talking about Rav Sheftel. I'm talking about Rav. Rav Sheftel is his own.
No, so I think for davening it's Atifa. Atifa I think it's really cover your head. So yarmulke is more of an idea that your head isn't like revealed. There's like different ideas. Atifa is like where you're really wrapped up or like fully covered. So a hat does that. I don't think yarmulke does that. Maybe if it's super big. But the yarmulke I think is more just like not a negative. There's an idea of like Gila Rosh. Type of maybe like a sense of like freedom a person has when his head is uncovered. But I guess that's an idea which is true in the Torah. So it's an idea in the Torah, and now you're just doing an action, and minhag is that we're going to, as a tzibur, we're going to do this to remind us of that idea. As opposed to just setting up like a mitzvah. To say that we're going to wear black and white. What's black and white? What's the idea of white and black? And the whole thing, there's nothing, there's no idea, no content to it, it's just some arbitrary thing. You know? So it doesn't reflect any idea. It's just saying is we want to make up a rule. So everyone's uniform, everyone's whatever. But that's, you know? Yeah.
So this is kind of a side question, but it starts off with the topic a little bit.
See? Yeah, you know what I got? Let me know if you need something.
So we somehow ran into Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah's understanding of why people don't wear, like Ashkenazic Jews don't wear talisin after their bar mitzvah. So he quotes the Maharil,
mm-hmm.
who's Doresh from
Kigat Hashisha.
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, he doesn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently a lot of other Achronim don't like it also. But the question is more, can an Achron or a Rishon be Doresh Pesukim?
I don't think so. I think that's what...
How is that related?
Because Minhag is, you know, like they have a Minhag, but people don't wear it in Ashkenazi.
Right. I mean, that's why they reject it. But I think that's what I mean. I heard in the Chaim Shea told me the name of Rav Moshe. They say, Re'isem Oso. They say, therefore, we should wear tzitzit out. It's like, yeah.
Right.
Magen Avraham, I think, has that.
Yeah.
I think what Rav Moshe said is that Magen Avraham can't be Doresh Pasuk. That's not the way Chazal or Doresh, and therefore, he can't say Allah like that. Mm-hmm. You know? Can't make up his own drash.
Isn't that more than just a Magen Avraham? Like, it's like a huge just attempt in terms of, like, tzitzit being
true. Oh, well, I think that's where it comes from, Magen Avraham. I think when it's quoted, it's like that's where it came from. Like, Avraham's Dower, Shabri Zamoso, that's where they get it from.
And I remember when I was like learning the Sigib, just this particularly, that was more than just Magen Avraham in the head. I don't know if everyone was.
Do you have to wear them out, or?
Yeah, that some people hold that, like, you have to wear them out. And then it became like a Machlokes Ashkenazim Sephardim.
Could be they're basing it off the Magen Avraham.
Right, so I don't remember if it was just basing it off Magen Avraham, or just.
I'm not sure.
They have different Sephardis for it.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I've gone through the Sigya. There was a Ritvai, like Yosef, but it's not straight in the Sigya. I don't think so. Mirisim also the Dorsh is that a nighttime banger or a Suma, things like that. The idea that you should see it is like. I mean, I don't think like it could be it's a philosophical idea of the thing. There's nothing wrong with it, but to say like a halacha that you're supposed to wear that, I think that's what Moshe said. You can't make up a new halacha. There's no halacha like that. You know, Chazal wearing Dorsh. So this, I don't know, that's a difficult thing now, Maril. It's like a smichas parshas of Kiga Cheshisha and Titus.
That's like their one thing, though. So,
I know.
Like,
now, it's another thing also, it's another Gemara, you know, that other thing, that Dorish.
One Kedushin?
Yeah. About the guy who wasn't wearing the thing. Yeah, and but they say also, the very the halacha is
like
also.
A regular baguette.
Yeah, right, it's not talking about Titus, just, what do they call it?
Sudar?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, it's a little
but
sketchy where
being,
that comes from.
Like, it's a mitzvase.
Yeah. There is one place where there's a different place. The Mishnah Berurah has it in two places. One place he brings it down just straight says it.
Really?
Yep. There's two places he has it.
Not in Sittis?
In Sittis. But there's two places. One place he just brings it down straight as if he holds by it. And the other place he brings it down and he's against it. I think the Ber Halacha in both places is against it, but if you look in the index of the Mishnah Berurah, you know, you'll find that there's two places he has it. Maybe like one's like in Ches and one's in like Chaf Dalet or something like that. Like
yeah, you can get Ches or something.
One's towards the beginning, one's towards the end. Or Chaf Halam. Yeah, it's not so simple, but yeah, I don't know. That's one of those things. Somehow that got on. I don't know. Yeah, but look, it's not like the Chiyav is when you're wearing a dollar for a part of a baguette.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, it's like a chiyuv to wear tzitzis every day. If you don't have a four-corner bag, then you're not really five. So it's not like, you know.
In theory, you could fulfill Atifa's Rosh otherwise.
Yeah, right. I think there is a special kinyan of Atifa and tzitzis, but I don't know, it's like a chiyuv. It's like you guys move on to a chiyuv by not doing it. That's what everybody says, that people don't do it, and to do it in another shul, it's going to create a fire or whatever, it's something.
Yeah.
It's not like you're in Vata, you know, you're in a barium by not doing it.
With not with regard to the minhagim, so we're just saying that the that it's an idea that came that we recognized, and we wanted to make like some sort of ma'aseh to be able to remember the idea, mm-hmm. And so we did that. So how about like other minhagim, like I know we don't necessarily do like minhagim like or for health reasons like stomachs or whatever. So, but that's not a
minute,
that's not like an idea,
That's not a halacha. That you have to be healthy, and insofar as it's health, it's dangerous to have salt in your eyes, you have to wash your hands to make sure you
don't.
But that
had nothing to do with,
that
wasn't a minute.
No,
it
isn't a minute. Oh. So that was a halacha, it's a halacha, you can't do things which are dangerous.
Right.
So if that's a medical thing, then you can't do it, then, you know. Like some posts can say. That was in the times. There's a noticed danger, and therefore they set up a thing to be able to avoid it.
Of my
Achronim.
Right, but I'm saying particularly with Melech Stone,
yes.
That was what,
yes.
Not just Melech.
No, a specific kind of assault which would blind your eyes. If it touched your food, and then you touched your eyes, it would blind you. It was like dangerous. So there's like a thing. It would be like a thing nowadays, some sort of health thing. Let's say, I don't know, you just have to take vitamins, or I don't know, it's not like that. You know, you have to eat healthy, or whatever. It's like that kind of thing. But it's a subcategory under the mitzvah of Vishmartim Mal Nafshasechem. You have to guard your health. You know, guard your safety. But a minhag would be like, let's say the Talmidim Rabbi Kiva died and Ramana Noah to Misabah for them. even though there's no halacha of Avelis for whatever, but they were a major blow in the Masorah and whatever it is, and it's a minog to remember their, what they did and their death and whatever, so there's a minog of Avelis for them. And even though it's not a halacha to be Masabah for them, not your Karov or something like that, but there's, you know, things like that. Or like the idea of like the 3 weeks is a minog. 9 days I think is halacha, but 3 weeks is like there's a time, there's an idea of the between, you know, Shivas Batamas and Tisha B'Av, and there's a relationship between them. So the minhag is that we remember the times. There's an idea that's a time of negative ashkach or whatever, so we misabel. So we extend the Avez L'Chorban, which is a true idea, and we take it extended into a time period where the, even beyond where Chazal or Misaki and Halacha. You know? Things like that. You know, or knowing to say certain things in tefillah or whatever, maybe, which are not a technical halacha, but there's a minhag, so there's ideas in tefillah, whatever, you know, something like that. You know, those are like minhagim. So the minhagim are usually that kind of thing. Some idea which you want to remember through, you know. Like, arguably, I once gave a shiur about, like, it's like a novelos, like they eat lentils, things like that. Certain ideas bring to mind different ideas about avelos, certain, you know, actions which we do that bring to mind ideas. That's an idea, even beyond the technical bounds of halacha, is doing something as a minhag, which is there's concepts and certain activities can bring to mind concepts, so Kaiso is knowing to do things that bring to mind these concepts. But, like, what's the concept in wearing a certain color or something like that? That's just, you know. That really has, like, the flavor of a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah, you know?
You can't just start doing it, though, like, on your own, like, you have this idea. Anymore.
No, I don't know if you could on your own, though.
But that seems to be more so, flavor of mitzvah
at times. Yeah, I understand. But it does come from, there's an Amora who did it, and it's like Midas Hasidus. It's like Midas, there is an idea of Midas Hasidus to it. And then you just, yeah. Good? Question?
Yeah.
I was just wincing.
Okay.
There's a Gemara in Brachos.
Yeah.
In regard to, I guess in regards to davening.
Okay.
Where, like, the, I guess it's like, you know, Chassidus, like, the, you know, Tom Midei Chachomim, they would get it. I mean, I guess everyone
kind of
did it.
Yeah.
They do, like, an hour of meditation before davening, and meditate afterwards. Why do we make davening so concise? That's really the case.
Well,
I think it's like in terms of like learning, we'd rather learn,
right.
But like you clearly right. See that they're doing it, so I don't right. See how that's really the excuse.
Right. Well, I think that one thing is like Mizram says this in one or two places, is that it's not a derech to take with something that great people did and to start doing it yourself, because there are certain. And there's certain people are at the certain levels, and they do things which are appropriate for them, and aren't necessarily appropriate for us. So, for instance, no one—I don't think we're at a level that we could sit for an hour before the evening and get our mind on tefillah, and like it just wouldn't work for us. We're not. You know, what would they be doing? How would you even do that? You know,
right.
You could try, but it just wouldn't work. I just think it's good enough if we could focus. I think we all, even it's hard enough to like, focus on Kav Tefillah for as short as we do it. So I think the idea is a short davening, in theory, you try to pack in your kavana, and if you're just going to not be, if you're not going to have kavana anyways, just to spend an hour davening as opposed to 20 minutes davening, you might as well, your odds of having kavana for the whole davening is much better if you have it short, than if you extend, you know, if you extend it. So it take a long time for it. I just don't know if it's a good method for like now for us nowadays, where we wouldn't be able to really benefit from it. So, I think that's kind of the idea.
Would there be, like I used to read, like Ari Kaplan had, like these meditation books. He had one that was, like, just, like, really interesting. It just had to do with, like, Shemoneh Esrei. It was, like, Shemoneh Esrei itself was, like a meditation technique. And, like, he explained it really well. It actually made a lot of sense. But, like, would it make sense to, like, do something like that, just, like, to, like, you know, put your feet in the water, is just like 10 minutes, try and do something?
I mean, it depends what it is. I mean, I didn't read the book, so I don't know what it's hard for me to say. But I mean, if it's something which is going to help you focus, I'd say anything you could do which is going to help you be able to focus on good ideas during tefillah. You know, like it's not going off into, you know, funny ideas, but if it's solid stuff, I don't know what it is or not, but if it's solid and it will help you focus on tefillah and think about Hashem and think about Yom HaLifnei Hashem, then great. Definitely. If that works for you.
Yeah. I mean, like, I heard, like, a lot of things, like tefillah is in terms of, like, self-introspection, like, when you're reading, like, every different paragraph of Shemoneh Esrei, you're supposed to, like, think, like, what you have, what you lack about it. And, like,
That's good.
Those things, like, take time, like, you can't just, like...
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, it's true. Look, I think it's just tefillah, kavana tefillah is hard. If you come up with a method that works for you and it enables you to have kavana, great, do it.
Would it be better than just, like, if you could have kavana on, like, one particular thing, to, like, do that slow and then just, like, speed through everything else?
Yeah, maybe, if that's a practical method. I mean, I just think it's hard, it's so hard to have kavana for anything. If you can think of something that will work for you, you know, I think Rabbi Sidrav said a good idea is at the beginning of each bracha to just at least think of what the bracha is about. You know, try to pause before each bracha and just get this in your mind, try a picture of what the bracha is about. But that's not easy either. But, you know, it's hard. I don't know. I think it's all good. As long as you don't have anything, any corrupt ideas, but you just have like a technique that helps you focus on tefillah. Any of these types of techniques, if it works, then go for it. You know, their method was sit for an hour and whatever. I just don't think it's shayach to us nowadays, you know? So I think in general, I think it's a funny, you know, the story goes, I think it's the Ruch Chaim or the Rav. The Ruch Chaim. The Rav also did. They davened fast. I don't know who the story was, but they both davened fast. So they said, somehow it says, like, the davening is supposed to be like you're counting money. Something like that. It's a chazal, it's like you should take it or something like that. He says, well, I count my money fast also. That's like a chazal or something that says that.
So he said it to them.
He says, okay. Yeah, but doesn't it say you should count daven like you're counting your money? I guess people count their money. It's like a careful, whatever. You know, he says, I count my money fast also. You know, something like that. But I think it's like, you know, I think it's largely a personal thing. I mean, some people, if you do it slowly, you're able to think more and to focus and whatever. Another person, if you do it too slowly, you're going to space out and get involved in all kinds of other things, and your best chance of being able to pay attention is to just try to zip through it. Give a quick idea on each bracha and keep moving and whatever. And if you try to spend too long on it, you end up getting lost. So I don't think there's like a right way to do it. I think you have to just feel yourself out, try different things, you know, and see what works for you. I think there's a thing in the tzibur where you're not supposed to be that much longer than the tzibur. It's like a yoga.
I mean, I know that's in terms of like if you're still at tzibur for sure, it's like tearful to tzibur.
Yeah. No, even yourself though. It's like it looks like you're like haughty or something. If you're like everyone's davening for 5 minutes, you daven for 20 minutes. You know, that's like I think you really bring down. You're not supposed to do that. So it's supposed to daven approximately the same pace as the tzibur.
You say the other way also?
Shorter?
If the seaboard's going longer or...
I don't know, I'm not sure if that's
doesn't
the case.
Seem right.
I don't know.
Worried about you are
on it. Yeah, I don't know if that's a problem. It's like I remember as a kid, this is a joke I guess, but my fifth grade rabbi told me this. There's this town which they had a rub and he davened, and the rub always used to like, after like 5 seconds or something, he just like takes 3 steps back, you know? And everyone felt bad because he's the Rav and everyone else is davening longer. So they said, you know, maybe you should at least wait a little bit afterwards because we all feel bad that we're making you look like you have a short davening. It's not right or whatever. So he says, you know, I already do that. Yeah, that's funny. I wasn't sure when I said it would still be funny. I knew it was funny in fifth grade. But, you know, it's still funny, I guess, right?
I like that. Is there still an Indian to like I don't remember if it was like 3 or 5, like you said, like 5 things like that you're supposed to like ask Hashem like outside of all the brachos, like an Elokai Nitzor, or like within the brachos themselves, or like originally it was within the brachos and then like
I don't know if there's a thing a number, but I mean it's true that if you have a particular tzorach then I think it's appropriate to add it in the brachos or in Makaleno or in other kinds.
But you're supposed to do it like every time you daven.
No, I don't think there's any rule like that. It's just whatever, you're allowed to daven for whatever you want. And if you have something that's on your mind that you want, certain things are continual things in your life and they're always whatever, other things are not. And you could do them every time you want if that's how you feel.
But you're just supposed to like think it?
No, you should say it. You should say something.
Just say it.
Yeah, I mean, you could write a tefillah.
You have to formulate it in Hebrew.
It's better if you could, but you know, it's not market. But you could write it in advance. You know,
right.
Spell something which is like a theme which you can do regularly. You could write something. You know,
uh-huh.
You could do it in Hebrew or you could do it in English. Better Hebrew, but if it's going to be good Hebrew, if it's going to be try to give it some thought on the fly. If you're going to do it on the fly, I wouldn't do it in Hebrew because you're going to bungle. You know, just do it in English. But I think at different points in your life, you have different srachim. I mean, there's like a yiratzen for chol. I mean, others don't have that. If you have someone who's sick in your house or whatever, if there's someone who's sick or someone whatever, if you're sick, that there's a good text for it. You know, they have one written. But something else, I mean, depending on where you're at in your life, I think it's appropriate. A person should. It's a full idea in tefillah. Like, insofar as you have a tzorach, so how are you going to satisfy your tzorach? So the way that the person should look to it, goes, Rahu. Among other ways, but that's like the idea. So if there's something that is on your mind and you really want to work out in whatever way it is, then it's appropriate to add into your tefillah. If you get a bracha, you could always add it to Shema Kaleinu. The way you do it is the place you do it in each bracha is every bracha before the bracha has like a end phrase. You do it before that. Like, let's say for Refuah, it says, Ki Kalma Rafeinam and Rachmanata, Rachdosh and Rafeinam Isha. So, Ki Kel, before the Bracha, there's what's called Me'in Chasima, Samach the Chasima. Means Samach to the Chasima is Brachta Hashem, there's a phrase which is Me'in that. It's like a summary of the Bracha. So, you don't want to put your Tefillah, you don't want to separate those two. So you want to have it right before that phrase. You can look in every Bracha, it's clear. Achzerin Bisho Hashem, Achanach, Hashem, Rachdosh, Hashem, or Kikel right before that.
Is there a particular, like, is it better to do it there, or, like,
I think there's machlokas.
By the year or some.
Oh, boy, yeah, Elokai Neshama? Okay, sorry, I mean, you know, I think it's in theory bad. I don't know, there's different ways to do it. I think it's good to do it in tefillah. I mean, if you do it there, it's not in tefillah.
Like the Gemaras and everything. You're supposed to do it there.
Where? In the Tanzoma?
In the tefillah.
In the tefillah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Do it in the tefillah. Because it's a different status. That's like tachanunim. That's not tefillah itself. So you could add in your tefillah. You could add in Shema Kaleinu. Or add in the bracha.
But then you have to decide what exactly
it is.
Category.
Yeah, but Shema Kaleinu is a catch-all. But, I mean, usually I think the category is usually somewhat clear. It depends, I guess. Like, if it's like, you know, like Parnasa and Baruch Aleinu. It's in the health, it's Refuah, if it's knowledge, or whatever, it's Tshuva. I guess if it's like, I'm not sure where like a Shidduch or something would go. I'm not sure what bracha that would fit into exactly. Maybe that would be Shema Kaleinu. It doesn't exactly fit into, you know. Anything in particular, like, you know, marriage to work out or something like that. But most things are, you know, if you're not sure, then put it in there. You know? Put a Shema Kaleinu. You could always put anything in Shema Kaleinu is like it is a catch-all.
I mean, I was always curious because they have, like, in, not every sitter has, I don't think art school does it. They have, like, within or
Yeah. Yeah, the Yiratzon. Art school has it, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that you could do. That's in Rafaena.
Yeah, like, well, it's like, everyone always told me, like, or not everyone, but a lot of people told me you should do it in an Elokai Netzor.
Oh.
But it doesn't make sense, like, it's got that built into the tefillah somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who exactly set that up, but it's good to, you know, no, you do it in there. You could do it in Elokai Netzor also. I don't know if it's, like, I haven't looked into it that thoroughly, but I think they're all legitimate options. Yeah. Okay, good.
Is the 100 brachos thing a halacha?
Yeah.
Like you have to do
100
brachos?
You should.
No.
Yeah. You should.
I mean, also like
what?
Like,
I mean, you should think into what, how your life works. But I think in general, if it's, I mean, on Chol you have it almost automatically. It's really Shabbos and Yom Tov is the problem, Yom Kippur.
Chol you have what, like?
You have like 19 brachos times 3, and then if you go through the thing, you look into
just
it.
Davening,
you almost you're just davening, you have a lot. Then you go to the bathroom and you eat, and then you're basically done, you know? It's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, since Tefillah only has 7, that it's not so easy. But they work it out. You can look, I mean, but it's Shaykh, they say eat fruits. National Shabbos. I mean, I think, I don't know if you need, like, I think it's Shaykh to think into your life and figure out if, you know, if you have to do anything about it. So you get it? You know, just figure out by basically on a Shabbos and figure out what you do.
The idea is like to be always appreciating.
I think it's like, yeah, you it's fill your day with brachos. It's kind of like you're constantly thinking about Hashem or something. Yeah, but I don't know if you have to have a running count each day. I think if you kind of think into your thing and you notice you always have it. You know, Kippur is hard, I think. I'm not sure exactly how you work it out on Yom Kippur. You have a lot of tefillos, though. More tefillos, but it says you don't eat. Shabbos they say nash, have nashes, they have peros or whatever.
If you come late to davening, like just really quick, if you come late and you don't have time to say the 3 things before, 4 things before, whatever before Shabbos, then at the end should you go back and not say Sugei Zimra, but say the
Baruch Shemar Asher and Shabbos?
No, Baruch.
I think we heard every whole deal
on
to do that.
No, I don't mean that. I mean the brachos of
Birchus
Hashanah. Oh, Birchus
Hashanah? Oh, yeah, you should say those. Yeah, you should say those.
Baruch Shamar also?
No, no, Baruch
Shamar.
No, not Baruch Shamar. Baruch Shamar is probably Zimra, but Birchus Hashanah you should say. Yeah, you should say those.
Meaning after Tefillah.
I guess if you don't have time, say beforehand. I mean, you should say it. Not Birchus Torah, though.
No,
part is real Torah.
Oh, really? Also,
I don't know. I think you do.
You say.
I think, but you should say Brachos. I mean, you can say Brachos says.
If in theory,
that's
how you have too much time, like you get early too on the Nates, should you say all Karbanos?
You could. I don't know. Look at the items. You don't have to. But you could.
Just because you brought up the Brachos thing. If you're I don't know, maybe you're looking for another Bracha to say. Say you're like on a hike and you're like going to like the biggest waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like no like set Bracha to make on a waterfall.
I think there might be.
Can you say like Osamasa Bereshis?
I think so. I think that's what they say. I know mountains they say Osamasa Bereshis that doesn't have a waterfall as well.
But is it totally subjective? It's like within your personal view of the way it works. Like I went on like hikes in high school with the school, and like 90% of the kids do not appreciate the outdoors.
Oh right? Yeah, I think it should be. I don't know. I think Rav Chaim held those brachos are over shas, not a chova. And I think it's like if you're wowed, I think it has to do with
so
like
it's subjective. Experience.
I think so. They just don't care. Yeah, you don't care about it. I don't think it's gemachayah.
Like, could you say it like on anything? Like,
I don't know.
A torrential downpour. You're just like amazed by like torrential downpour.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there has to be one of the things that I just think probably waterfall comes under. But I don't know. And a mountain.
I mean, could it be like? I mean, honestly, I'm wild when I'm just like flying over landscape from like a plane. Like I'm just looking out. Like that's like an unbelievable.
You mean like over mountain range or just over like
viewing the world in front of you? Like,
oh.
That's a crazy.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Like, what, the mountain range or just say driving or flying
over
Farakway?
That's a thing. Like that, you should say.
Yeah, right. But you're saying like flying over Farakway or something.
I mean, not particularly Farakway. I mean, New York just happened to look pretty nice from like, just like
whatever.
Anywhere. Like, I was flying over the Alps.
Anything.
On my way to Israel, and it was just like that's absolutely incredible.
Right. That's mountain range, also. Then you're good.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, just flying over the ocean also is just...
I know. It's cool.
I mean, there is a bracha for seeing the ocean, but, like...
Yeah.
It's different when you're on the beach than in the sky, you know?
I know. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. I could try. You can ask Rabbi. I could try to look it out, but I feel like it's a kind of thing that's hard to find. Yeah. Alrighty. We'll stop it here.